Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And this hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.
Pizza time.
It is an interesting day for the Vancouver Canucks. We have lots to get into.
Interesting.
Interesting.
That's what we say about injuries.
Yeah. Interesting is most often a way of saying not good.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, when you don't want to like flat out say that this was trash or this was a bad movie, it was interesting.
Yeah, it's like it's when your partner asks you a question, you answer it, and they say interesting. That's usually not a good thing. It's like, interesting.
Yeah,
what do you mean interesting?
Your partner makes dinner. How is it, honey? Interesting. Interesting flavors.
Not a good thing.
That's never happened before. I don't know what you're talking about.
Never heard that before. Never heard fine and never heard interesting before. So I can never speak up for experience.
You can get your interesting comments into the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Dunbar Lumber, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. Let's get to it. It's the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh, that's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
The open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest in our take on it for your Vancouver Canucks. And the latest is another injury to your Vancouver Canucks and another injury to a core player of your Vancouver Canucks. Brock Besser comes off of IR. JT Miller goes on to injured reserve. Thatcher Demko continues to be on injured reserve. And now Philip Hronek, although details are still hard to come by, we know that Philip Hronek is going to be out for a while after suffering an injury in the final seconds in last night's loss to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's tough. And it's kind of been a season riddled by injuries. Coming into training camp, the story was Thatcher Demko's status, which we quickly found out was going to be something that needed time to figure out. And you mentioned they've had a few injuries since then. And then Dakota Joshua's situation, which wasn't an injury, but obviously a very scary illness, which he has overcome and he's now working his way back from. And the good news is Demko hopefully back soon, and JT should be back here, you know, relatively soon, you hope. But this is kind of what a normal season looks like. Like last year, the Canucks didn't have any injuries up until the very end.
This is a little bit more than normal,
for
though.
Sure.
But like as far as like getting injuries to your core players,
100%. But they are getting guys back. But most teams are going to miss a core player or two for a pretty sizable portion of the season. That's what happens most years. Like somebody loses some time. The Canucks didn't go through that last year until the very end.
Yeah.
So part of me looks at it and says, get it out of the way early, right? Deal with this stuff early and hopefully these guys come back healthy. And I think for the defense, it makes it a bit more troubling, though. I think the bigger question for this is, you can overcome not having Besser and Miller for a while and Miller not back and Joshua working his way back, because you had Hughes and Hronek, at least.
Yeah.
You had good net mining with Lankin and Demko's coming back. Losing Hronek on the back end does make it a lot harder for them to survive defensively.
It's a tough one, honestly. Like, I know people, it's tale as old as time. You know, guy gets a new contract and expectations rise. And so people are looking at Philip Hronek for a lot of this year like, oh, he's only got one goal. Or for a long time, oh, he only had 4 points. I mean, now he's up to 9, you know, through 21 games for a defenseman that's not playing top power play minutes. That's fine, right? And I feel like, and we've talked about it here on the show over the last few weeks, like Hronek almost gets undervalued because he plays in Quinn Hughes' shadow. I don't know. Maybe that's the best way of framing it, but it's not the best way of framing it, I mean. but Philip Hronek and his value to this team, I think you're going to feel it a lot more now that he is going to be out for a little while than maybe you appreciated while he was in the lineup.
We've talked about this before. Heading into last night's game, Philip Hronek, as far as Canucks regulars go, had the best goals against per 60 behind Brock Besser.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't updated them looking at it today. If it's changed, it's only changed marginally.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have changed dramatically. So for all, you know, the complaints about he's not producing enough, and the bottom, it's not like he has no bottom line.
No, he's up to 9 points in 21 games now.
Yeah, so I mean, you he's kind of in that.
It's kind of like a 40-point pace.
Yeah,
close to it.
Close to, like, he's like, it's like 30-point
yeah.
pace right now.
So,
which means with a few games you get to 40. So his pace is fine. Like it's
with,
fine
with no power play time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, maybe like a few more goals, sure, but like, come on.
Yeah, I think he can produce better too, and I think he would have as the season would have kind of gone on. But I do think his contributions defensively have been overlooked, or at least the impact he can have on the team defensively with all the things he does well.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think it's going to be a tough one to overcome. And like when you think of it, we'll get to the trade because people are asking trade stuff and what can you do. But as far as what do you do to figure it out, triage it as you speak, you know, with Friedman coming up, he's not going to be an option, I don't think, to jump in ahead of Desharnais.
Yeah.
So Desharnais is getting into the lineup, but what does it look like? What do the pairs look like?
So that bit of news hasn't been made official just yet by the Vancouver Canucks, but on the NHL media site, Mark Friedman has been announced as a player on the Canucks roster, and Archdeep Baines looks like he'll be heading down to Abbotsford. So they'll stay at 22 players on the roster and stay under the salary cap for the time being. But you look at this defense, you've got Hughes, Soucy, Branstrom on the left side, Derek Forbert on IR, hopefully back soon. I think that would help the Canucks quite a bit here.
Yeah, and I'd say on Forbert, it's still going to be a bit while.
Okay.
Like, I don't think, I'm not sure he's coming back as soon as they come back from the road trip. You know, hopefully sometime here before the new year, I kind of hope, but I'm not sure his return is necessarily imminent.
He was announced as week to week when he first went on to injured reserve November 17th. So that's still not that long ago, but it has been a while since we've seen Derek Forbert in the lineup. On the right side, you'll have Myers, Juulsen, Desharnais, and Mark Friedman. So the question here is now, what's the best way to, borrow the term from you, triage the situation for the Vancouver Canucks and survive yet another big injury to the team?
I mean, honestly, this is the first time where we talk about by committee a lot. It's going to have to be by committee.
Yeah.
Like, it really has to be.
Because, well, you can't just like, Myers can't completely fill Philip Hronek's minutes.
No. And
that's not a good recipe.
And probably, I don't think you can rely on Branstrom and Soucy alone to carry their own pairs necessarily, mm-hmm. with the way they've played. And Branstrom's done a lot of good things. So let's say you put Desharnais with Branstrom, right? Okay, fine. You can do that.
And they've performed fine,
right,
in like heavily sheltered minutes.
So you can keep them relatively sheltered and feel, yeah, like they can be a fine pairing for you. So then you put Myers with Hughes, for instance. Soucy and Juulsen, we saw it kind of looked rough last,
yeah,
night. You saw. Do you feel confident in that?
No.
So let's say you put Soucy and Myers together. I don't think you don't feel confident in that, but let's just say you do that. How confident are you in Juulsen being able to play pretty big minutes exclusively 5-on-5 with Hughes?
I don't love the idea, but I have seen it before in the past, and at times it was able to work. You're putting a lot more on Quinn Hughes' shoulders, but, you know, Noah Juulsen's got to do his best Luke Shen impression and just kind of keep it simple next to Quinn Hughes, get him the puck whenever you can, and try to do some of the dirty work defensively.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's the best way of managing this, unless, you know, you go out and force a trade right away or something to that effect, which I don't think is the best way of handling this situation.
Yeah.
Hughes, Juulsen, Soucy, Myers, feed them the defensive shutdown minutes, hope that they can manage as best they can, hope that they have better results than they have had earlier this season, and then sheltered minutes for Branstrom, Desharnais. And hope that they significantly win their matchups, which they had earlier in the season when they've been put together.
That's a lot of stick, glue, and prayer right there. You
hey,
know?
Man, it's like the old red-green show. Just stick some duct tape on it and hope that it works. And maybe duct tape will fix everything.
Well, duct tape is pretty, I will say, anytime you're in trouble with something, duct tape does kind of come to the rescue, I will say. I'm not quite sure.
Maybe they can get their hands on some of that special heat tape from Silo, you know?
Oh, you know what? I see you working. I see you watch some Silo. You've like probably been binging Silo.
Yeah, I needed something to wash the stink out of that Canucks game last night.
So like four episodes of Silo? Yeah, I know. It's funny. I got home early but couldn't get to bed late. It's like, anyways, long story short. But to your point, I think you're right. I think when you look at it, that's the way you probably start. But I don't think you can have an entire game with Juleson playing with Hughes and he ends up with 20 minutes. Like, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's going to have to be, yeah, sure, you can start a game like that. But situationally, you're going to see Hughes with Soucy at times, even though they're both left-handed defensemen. And I think you're going to see guys move around. I think you have to, because I don't know if I'm confident in any single individual defender on this team outside of Hughes right now to feel like they can handle something on their own. Like, Quinn's going to have to carry everybody here.
Yeah.
Like, his workload's going to have to be, you cycle through everybody as a game goes on, and you're just going to have to make it work.
Just put Quinn in a Batman suit, and hopefully he can carry the team as best he can right now. This from Randeep in Surrey. Why is a trade not the best option? Team needed a top four bad anyway. Need it even more now than ever. So, first, like, nothing has changed as far as the trade market goes, right? Maybe the Canucks' urgency on the situation has changed, but there's still a lack of quality options on the trade market, which is, first and foremost, a reason why maybe you don't want to go out and force a deal to get something that may not raise your floor as much as you hope it will anyways. Two, what's the old line Elliot Friedman says when, you know, when other NHL GMs see you sinking, nobody's going to throw you a life raft. And in the Canucks injury situation right now, you know, Philip Hronek's going out. You think any GM is giving you a discount price on their potentially available defenseman?
Yeah.
Not a chance. If you're paying up for a defenseman at this point in time, before the trade season has really kicked in, you're probably paying a premium. You're buying high. Do you want to be that team that buys high? You still don't have a good sense of how good this team is, what the ceiling of this team is. So even as it sits right now, I'm not really all that comfortable spending a big time future asset to try and manage your way through this current situation. Why did the Canucks go and make the trades that they did last year? Why did they make the push for Elias Lindholm earlier than any other team was ready to? They looked at their team. They saw how much the players had bought into the structure, how much success they were having, and they said, you know what? This is a go-for-it year. Let's go after Elias Lindholm and try to get it over the top. This team has not shown enough to this point in the season for the management group, in my eyes, to say, man, we really got to go out and spend and try to get this team over the top. We look like we're ready to win a Stanley Cup. We're close to winning a Stanley Cup. Right now, we haven't seen that level from this Canucks team yet this year. No, I'm not interested in paying that kind of an asset right now.
Yeah, well, for rental, you wouldn't. And I think for this team, like, so on the Yurecek thing, we heard Frank tell us on Monday that the Canucks aren't going to be the team that gets them, right? Yeah. And the trade hasn't been made yet. And my understanding is that's also probably not likely to happen, the Canucks getting Yurecek. They've had some interest in Yurecek, obviously. I know Doyle yesterday mentioned that they didn't want to trade Verlander. That's also what I've heard, that they're not trading Verlander for Yurecek. And the Canucks are actually very high on some of their defensive prospects, like They like Pettersson. They like Kudryavtsev as well, to Verlander. They're just kind of in between. They're just not ready right now to step in and help you. So the thing for them is, are they willing to move those guys today to make it happen when they like them so much for the future, even next season, or maybe even later this year for one or two of them to play a few games for you? But they really like those guys and think that at least a couple can turn out for them. So you're not trading them for a rental. And as much as they like Kudryavtsev and Pettersson, I'm not sure they move the needle for Yurecek, and you're not trading Verlander for Yurecek. So you're kind of stuck in, are you trading away guys that you like for a rental like Marcus Pettersson?
No, I mean, certainly I'm not.
Right.
I would not advise.
Right. That doesn't mean the Canucks won't trade these guys, but
yeah,
it would be for somebody that I think would be here longer term and would be a significant upgrade. I don't think they're close to finding anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, because of how poor their bargaining position is, and they understand that right now because of the Hronek injury, to your point, that they're not getting... nobody's making doing any favors for him. If anything,
yeah,
prices are going up. It's a premium right now. So they just have to ride this out and wait it out and wait for an opportunity to come up and make some sort of a trade. I don't think they're against making a big trade mm-hmm. at all. And we know they're not afraid of trading something significant to do it. But the other issue is, because you don't know how long Hronek is out, you can't just put him in LTIR and then not be sure when he's returning. And
yeah,
that means you have to also get compliant when he does come back, for instance. So accruing cap space is still the goal here by the trade deadline. And if you are trying to make a bigger trade, who are you trading off the roster? You can say Hoglander. He makes $1 million this year. It's $3 million next year. So he's not moving the needle as far as making cap space.
No.
We go with the same discussion we had when we talked about moving some guys, even for Keandre Miller and whatnot. You're like, well, how do you get to the $4 or $5 million?
Yep.
You know, Desharnais is not going to do it alone.
No, nope, Desharnais is not a significant enough trade piece to acquire you, Keandre Miller.
So it's not an easy time to make a trade.
Yeah.
And because the ask is so high, you may have to just wait this out. And I know that's not what fans want to hear right now. And teams that are trying to trade their best guys, they want to get the best price possible, like Marcus Pedersen. Why
yeah.
trade him today unless they're getting a premium?
Yeah, and how many teams are in full-on sell mode this year? Like, Pittsburgh is maybe one of them. There's not too many others that are there quite yet. Or, even if you are, you're still waiting on the trade market to open up so you can maximize whatever asset that you have available to trade. A couple of texts are coming in. Luke with a great text saying, time to cash in those future considerations with the Seattle Kraken. Another text coming in on Will Borgen. Again, Seattle is bang on 500 right now. They're hoping to be a playoff team this year. They're not trading away one of their right shot defensemen right now. Maybe they get closer to the trade deadline and they are a little bit further out of the playoff race and they're like, all right, well, let's try and get something for Will Borgen. But that's kind of the issue with making these types of deals now. A lot of teams just aren't ready to move off of their pending unrestricted free agents because they probably still see and want to make a push for the playoffs, and moving a player off your roster doesn't help you do that.
No. I mean, not a guy like Garland, for instance.
Yeah.
Right?
Nope.
So the Canucks don't even really have overpaid players right now. For instance, say Myers. Guys say trade Tyler Myers, for instance. Well, you trade Myers, you still have to find another guy to replace Myers, too.
Myers is your number one right shot D right now.
So even if you trade him as part of a deal, that means you're just upgrading on him. That
yeah.
means you still have to add another guy.
Yep.
And that's not to say that Myers has played well, and I'm not saying I'm not against upgrading him, but when you start thinking about how many assets the Canucks have
mm-hmm.
and how much they can actually do to improve the team, it's going to be hard for them to upgrade on Myers and add another guy, too, on top of that, on the blue line. And every team's looking for blue liners.
Yeah.
It's the hardest position right now to fulfill and trade with other teams.
Your best hope is that you can manage the current injury situation. You got Buffalo, Minnesota, Detroit coming up to close out this road swing. Columbus on the return back home. Demko and Miller hopefully on the comeback in the short, in the near term, and that'll help. But for now, you're kind of slapping some duct tape or the special heat tape from Silo and hoping that it works.
Save you from the elements.
Yeah. Ultimately, one thing that's going to help this team as well is getting more saves. Artur Shilov's not the guy doing that right now. And assuming Demko continues on this trajectory of returning to the lineup fairly soon, I imagine we don't see Shilov's with the NHL team in the near term either. He was poor last night. The coach didn't hide from that. And what did he give up? 4 goals on the first 10 shots of the game, gave up the first shot of the game. And not all of it is on Shilov's. By no means am I sort of saying that the Canucks defended well last night. They did not defend well, and it's been a theme. But but it's been especially a theme in games with Artur Shilov's in net. So I do believe that there is a correlation there in how the team, maybe losing trust is harsh, but, you know, they're not expecting, or they haven't seen Shilov make enough saves. He's let in the first goal too many times. What was the stat Eddie put out? He's let in one of the first five shots in every start he's made this year.
He hasn't been good. There's no doubt.
You know, there's the comments about his stick handling, how he's able to handle the puck, how Lankinen does it better from Rick Tocchet that we've heard on a couple of occasions. I think there are legitimate reasons as to why the Canucks look and actually defend better when Lankinen has been in net versus Artur Shilov's. And on top of that, the kid is going through an absolute crisis of confidence right now. And you can see it in his game, how he's smaller in the net than he should be for a guy that is of his size. All of those things apply here. And so right now, the Shilov's experiment or hope that he would take a step this year, I mean, it just hasn't happened.
No, it really hasn't. And I think when you look at his trend line, it's really, you know, he hasn't played well since game five of the Stanley Cup playoffs in round two against the Edmonton Oilers. The Canucks win game five. He got lit up in game six. Mm-hmm. We all know he struggled with the points, the long shots in game seven against
the Oilers. He made some unbelievable saves, made
for sure
a huge amount of high danger saves in the playoffs, but he also let in some medium and low danger chances that, you know, you'd want your goalie to make the save on.
But it was game six and seven, right?
Yep.
Like that's where it struggled. Then we came to training camp, and you noted this when we were in Penticton, how much the goalies struggled even in training camp.
Yeah. Almost to the point where it was like, okay, they might need to bring in a goalie here.
Like, and I get it. Like,
and the Kevin Lankinen, at that time, the rumors were kind of heating up. It's almost as if the front office kind of knew where this was going and they needed to make an upgrade, and it was just a matter of time before they either pushed Lankinen to get that done or Lankinen made his decision to sign in Vancouver over somewhere else.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, but the training camp's not built for goalies with the drills and all that, so it's like, hey, you can't read too much into it. Then he struggled in preseason.
Yeah.
We talked about how many long shots were going in on him in the preseason and things like that. I remember people were getting mad. We're like, why are you guys so critical on Shilov? Like, we're not being critical. We're highlighting the things that were problems last year that he has to work on this year. If he doesn't, it's going to be an issue. And then he struggled with all that throughout. So he hasn't really played well. It's the game against Chicago, I guess. He won the game. You want to give him that one? Sure. That's one game.
He played well against Chicago.
So that's like one game.
Yeah.
That's tough, right? So he's a guy who has no confidence. And I think you're right. The rest of the group doesn't have a ton of confidence in him. But they've also played like this in front of Lankinen, like against Boston, too. He wasn't quite as loose, but they had moments where they also gave up some bad chances. Pastrnak had that breakaway. Zacha had that 3-on-1 chance. So, I mean, they had their fair share of opportunities as well against the Bruins. So even if they're confident with Lankinen, they still made similar mistakes. But I do see a team that right now, even with the head coach, that doesn't have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah.
And as soon as Demko comes back, this kid needs to go to the AHL. And I don't think we're going to see him start another game until Demko comes back.
Yeah, unless there's a need for it right now. It doesn't look like Shilov's is going to play a game anytime soon. You know, last year, the playoff save percentage was at 898 against Edmonton. It was 882. So you could make the argument, like, while Shilov's was really good in the playoffs, there was also some signs that he wasn't fully ready for a big time NHL spot.
This is what we got into a lot on the post game show too. I was as good as he was because of expectations and him coming from the AHL and being the third string goalie and he's helping you win. Like, it was still exceeded expectations, but just because he exceeded expectations did not mean that he was elite.
Yeah.
And at no point was he elite. And I think, you know, you have to be patient with these guys. And it doesn't mean he can't be good. It just means right now he needs to go work on his game.
The old cliche, sometimes progression is not linear. And for goaltenders, I think that is even more pronounced. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. We'll get to Landon Ferraro coming up here on Canucks Central. Canucks were off along with the entire NHL today for American Thanksgiving. And so that is your Canucks Central roundup. We'll hear what the team has to say about Hronek's injury tomorrow before they play an afternoon matinee against the Buffalo Sabres. Landon Ferraro is next on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.